if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and if you're Tim Hibbs, cough cough, if you're Coleman, cough cough, and nice, lovely.
You have people running away from the radio.
Anyway, I'm Dan, I'm your host, welcome to BRB UK, this is episode 384. I've been back after 2 weeks. I'm now back rather after 2 weeks of self-isolation. No, I wasn't really self-isolating. I just work had gone crazy as a result of COVID. I am fine. I haven't been called to the front lines because it's too long since I've seen a patient, apparently. So I'm doing what I can in other ways, such as being community support to these two. Tim, say hello.
Hello.
And Cole, man, it's time for your medicine. Nice.
Hi! Sorry, I'm just going to put this up front. One, I don't have coronavirus. Two, I'm not going to be coughing throughout the entire show as a joke. That joke is done now.
Yeah, I did wonder if you were just going to kind of just communicate via coughs for the whole show. See if you could get away with it.
One cough for yes, two coughs for no.
The problem is if you cough enough, there's a little chance a bit of poo might come out.
Whoa!
I mean, it happens at that age, I hear.
I know, right? There's other reasons, really, but you know. Something to do with a lax sphincter.
Dan, I have need of your medical expertise.
Okay, all right, bear in mind it's considered not good enough for the GMC to call me back to the front line. So you know, all bets are off. Bring it on.
Well, no. As I have alluded to on Twitter throughout the week, I'm ill at the moment, which
right.
is, you know, it's a worrying time to be ill. I do believe that I just have a cold. It feels that way to me. Like,
right.
I am very much bunged up. I don't have the fever and the...
Night fever.
The persistent cough that they talk about.
Right.
So, is it possible that I still, like, might have, like... Because I've heard lots of people described as mild symptoms. Is it possible that I have a mild form of it? Or is it less possible that that's the case?
So, the one that we're calling the coronavirus...
Yeah.
At the moment, that's the one that leads to a very specific the syndrome that is COVID-19, which is coronavirus infectious disease 2019, to give it its full name.
Right.
I think that's 2K's game last year.
Well, 2K20 sadly crashes on modern hardware.
COVID 2K19.
Yeah, exactly. So, although still preferable to the WrestleMania game, I heard. Or WWE 2K.
Oh, swine.
Kicking it while it's down.
And boy, is it down at the moment.
Look, I've generally been cautious. I haven't been going out the house. I have generally been following your advice of washing my hands as much as possible. Generally.
Sorry, Tim. Sorry. Actually, my actual advice was wash your hands.
Yeah, sorry. I'm able to have not gone into work this week, although that might be a increasing problem as the government weasels out of giving everyone the money they've promised, as I'm sure they are going to do. Yeah, so I'm getting really concerned that I should be heading back to work, and I just don't know how long a time I should leave it. If I don't recover from this in a week, does that mean I have to wait a week until the end of my symptoms until I can go anywhere?
At the moment, what they're saying is high temperature and a new continuous cough is what is most suggestive.
There's a telltale signs
of COVID-19. Yeah. That being said, it's a virus that can give you a whole number of symptoms or sometimes even no symptoms at all.
Yeah, because they talked about people being asymptomatic. So I guess there's a sliding scale in between there of you have full-blown COVID-19 symptoms versus you are asymptomatic, and then you could have any one of normal cold and flu-y type things in between, possibly, as a symptom.
Look, so if you've got symptoms, you need to self-isolate for 7 days.
Yeah.
And by symptoms, I think, in my opinion, any symptoms that are suggestive of a virus affecting your upper respiratory tract,
mm-hmm.
so like a cold,
yeah,
you know, any flu-like symptoms, I think for the safety of all others, you should self-isolate for 7 days. Now,
okay.
That's from when the symptoms started. After 7 days, if you do not have a high temperature, you don't need to self-isolate. But you should still cover your mouth when you cough or you sneeze.
I mean, you should do that anyway, right? Am I wrong?
It's being polite.
Amazes me the number of people who just don't. And I, the other day, I was going for my Bojo-approved outside activity.
Government-mandated walk.
Well, that means I'm actually doing more walking than I probably usually do, which is a good thing. But no, I'm keeping, obviously, 2 meters away from people. And it just amazed me. I saw someone on the other side of the road just coughing. Just coughing, not covering their mouth.
It was nice to see you, by the way. Sorry I couldn't come over. I was trying to keep my I was trying to maintain our distance.
I know. But it just amazes me.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazes me. But look, you know, I think what you've got to do is, if you are in any doubt, you have to do the thing that protects other people. And the advice that I always, you know, for those people who ask my opinion on it, and please, my opinion, I'm no longer a clinician who works for the NHS. I would advise that if you're concerned, you call 111 or call your GP surgery. Do not go in person unless you are extremely unwell.
But that's why I don't think, even with me at the moment, I don't think I'm at the stage of contacting anyone. Or I may have a mild form of the disease. I just need to live with it for a week, basically. Yeah?
Like when I stayed on your sofa.
Yes, exactly.
Just got to live with it for a bit.
Yeah, exactly. You are, Coalman 19.
COVID.
Yes, COVID. If you... So, HIBVIDs are a different thing. And he really wishes that the internet... he would have his right to be forgotten on the internet, but it's too late to. So, basically, the advice I always give people is, not only behave like everyone else has it, but also behave like you have it and you could give it to others. So, wash your hands. Make sure that you're staying 2 meters away from people. You know, just think of other people, for the love of God, really. You know, it's not fun having to self-isolate. It's not fun being inside all the time. But, sorry, we've got to do it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
We have to do it.
I'm having that fun time of having to go to work, and even more fun, getting the public transport.
Yeah.
And mostly people do try to stay far apart from each other, but you do get the ones who just clearly think this isn't a problem and they're just going to get straight in your face and stuff.
Well, I don't see how you can do that on the tube at most times, no?
You can.
Like, you might be okay at travelling at non-rush hour times, no?
I'm very lucky to kind of be in an area and not have to take that many stops where there's not that many people on the tube naturally anyway. But thanks to all this happening, there's less people taking the tube, so it's not a big problem anyway.
I mean, due to the super secret nature of you being a secret agent, Colman, obviously we can't discuss details.
No, of course not. What I will say, though, is going on the public transport at the moment, it is quite entertaining to see how many people have makeshift masks.
Just buckets on their head and stuff, yeah?
Is someone like a cat food box on the head yet?
Well, no, it's nothing like that.
I've seen a few Tupperware ones. They do look amusing, though.
I tell you what, though, everyone's division cosplay is on point.
So there's a shortage of medical masks, as we know, but there's also a shortage of all the other masks, like dust masks, pollution masks, all these kind of, you know, masks for cycling, masks for DIY. See a lot of people out in those at the moment. You see people that wrap scarves around their face, people that just pull their t-shirt up over their nose and think that's going to get them through the day. It's quite entertaining. And my favorite one, just before this all happened, all the shutdowns and stuff, I went to my local supermarket to get some last minute provisions in. Not panic buying, just being sensible.
Yeah. Don't even start me about bloody panic buying, knobheads.
Yeah, there's a big argument that I could have, but not when we've already eaten 10 minutes of the podcast. But while I was queuing up, there was a guy who had the mask on and he had the latex gloves on.
Ugh.
And he was packing his shopping on the self-service and then proceeded to pull his mask down so he could scratch underneath his nose and then put it back
good
up.
Work,
I was like,
dickhead.
What was the point? What was the point in all of that?
So basically, all you've done is just divert supplies from people who might possibly need them. My favourite one is people who are wearing the mask and have them below their nose. And pro tip, the only reason you might wear a mask is if you have it and you absolutely need to be transiting from your home to a healthcare facility for treatment, then wear a mask, because that will reduce the risk of giving it to others. Everyone else, guess what? Makes no bloody difference. And actually what happens, people wear gloves, think all of a sudden they are covered in antiviral goodness, and then fail to wash the damn gloves.
Yep.
Oh, these people are idiots.
Pulling it to the side of video games also, but keeping on the same topic as well, did you hear about Nintendo this week where they basically stocked up on medical masks because before we had all the businesses and stuff shutting offices, they stocked up on these masks for whatever reason and then went, oh, wait, hold on, we don't need these, and they've donated them all back to medical services.
Oh, good. It wasn't kind of like a media thing getting ahead of Dr. Mario coming out or something like that.
No, that's already out.
That's another question I have for you, Dan, as well, though. Like, I know that surgical masks don't do anything.
Yes.
Like, what level of mask do you need to get up to where it actually qualifies as something?
One that you cannot buy.
Dan, I believe I can take this one. Have you seen the film The Dark Knight?
Oh God, it's Bane.
The Dark Knight Rises. Yeah, the Bane mask, I believe. Mask. I have a Bane mask and I was trying to find it for wearing on the tube just for a laugh. I can't find it. I lost it in the move somewhere. So I'm quite upset by that.
Yeah, just don't do the full kind of slightly gimp-tastic trousers and brace combo he's got going on either. That's probably not a good look.
Good morning, fellow passengers.
Mind the gap. But the kind of mask you would need to buy is like a basically one that is completely sealed around your face. They almost look like duck bills are the kind of the full-on ones you need, or some of the more expensive 3M ones with very fine mesh filters. If you do see them available to buy, please don't buy them because someone other than you needs them more.
Because I already own one for cycling and that has air pollution filters, but does F all good against it, basically.
Seeing a lot of those out.
Yeah, does bugger all that's good.
Yeah, I figure that's just a slightly, like, better, slight upgrade to the surgical mask, basically, in terms of it's a good thing for stop me coughing on other things.
Well, it's probably going to stop you inhaling small, you know, small particulate pollutants, which will make you cough less. But you shouldn't be going outside if you've got a cough, Tim.
I shouldn't be going outside at all, not even for the government mandated exercise and all that type of stuff, innit? Yeah,
sorry,
that's
mate.
Why I
not unless you touch every person you see on the face.
Yeah.
After licking your fingers.
Don't do that.
Before and after.
Seriously. Okay, all right, I will sum it up, okay?
Go on then.
Wash hands.
Yep.
Don't be a dick.
Can't help you there.
No, I'm going to correct that. Don't be a selfish dick. There we go.
All right, I think I can do that one.
Pro tips.
Can I change the subject now?
Yes, please do.
Excellent. So from one good thing Nintendo done to, I can't believe it took this long, a Mario creation has been pulled from Dreams, allegedly after the complaints of Nintendo to Sony.
Oh.
Right.
So there's a Dreams player called Piece of Craft. I've taken a look at his bio and stuff. He does a lot of creations in Dreams, and they're very, very really good looking ones. He made a Mario model that has then been not only used as his own creations, but used in a lot of other games, such as you can do in Dreams, where you remix the asset that's created by someone else, or just plonk it in your own game.
Yeah.
Nintendo seems to have got wind of this, not been very happy with it, and...
Oh dear.
The asset is now not available for a Piece of Craft to use in the game. He's not allowed to edit it, though it does appear in his inventory unless he deletes it, but... He can remix the characters. So he can go back into the asset and mess around with it. And other people can do so too.
Just go in and make his hat green and his top green. It would look totally different. No one will be able to tell.
No.
There's a problem with this. Call him Barrio. Take his hat off. Barrio from EastEnders. But it's interesting because at the moment, as of yesterday, I haven't checked again today, but you can remix the asset. You can still use the asset in your game. It seems other people still have it in their game. Their games haven't been pulled. The asset hasn't been removed.
Oh, dear.
It might be a case of that still trickling down because they haven't had to deal with this so far. But if they haven't had to deal with this and they hadn't put a contingency plan in place for this, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Have you not seen Dreams? From the word go, like the big piece of when it was in alpha still and you weren't allowed to publish any information and someone still published information of something they made, I saw the most accurate representation of PT created in the game and thought, hold on a minute. There might be a legal minefield with this game.
That's a weird one though, because PT being a demo of an unreleased game, they couldn't claim that there was any loss of earnings by, you know, like...
It's still intellectual property though.
Yeah, I guess, but... Yeah, I don't know how tightly they had that intellectual property bound up if it's an unreleased game kind of thing. I mean, like a free demo that was part of a game that didn't get released.
The thing that I find interesting about this as well is I'm on the subreddit for Dreams. I look at a lot of Dreams videos and stuff because it's just fascinating to see what people make. But the majority of content that is shared is copyrighted content. It's remakes of SpongeBob games and Dexter's Laboratory and Sonic and Mario and Tekken. And there's all these different things that, you know, are other people's copyright and aren't associated with PlayStation. So we could see Dreams dry up a bit, but that can only be a good thing because there's a lot of content that is very good but gets buried deep beneath all the copyrighted content. So keep our eyes on Dreams at the moment and let you know what's going on.
Just while we're mentioning Nintendo as well, I think it was badly timed with our show releases in terms of talking about it as a full show topic. But did you see the Nintendo Lego stuff and how freaky that looks?
Yeah, that was a couple of weeks ago now. It's weird. It's not a Lego set. It's not... It looks more like Duplo, but it's a weird interactive... Like, you build a little course, and then you play a weird version of Mario Party using a fat Mario with an LED screen in his stomach.
Yeah, he looks like, I'm for just a Nintendo iPad!
No, he looks like, killer me now!
It looks like two different companies tried to smash together ideas, and both of them had limitations that made it a bit of a weird project, and no one came out of this
happy.
Well,
individually, they're both great products. Put together, it's like, okay, I really like olives, and I really like peanut butter.
But
don't put them together. That way lies badness.
I mean, I've got a bit of spare time on my hands.
Right, okay.
I might do some experimenting.
I'm just watching the trailer for this Lego Mario thing. It's like he doesn't look well.
It came up, literally, before we were about to record an episode a few weeks ago, there was a teaser for it, and everyone went, oh my God, there's going to be a Mario set through Lego. And I went, well,
that sounds really cool.
It's not really confirmed. It's confirmed that they're doing something, but it wasn't a set. So I kind of left it until the next week. And then in that time, they revealed what it was and went, I don't really know if we should talk about this because it looks like it shouldn't exist.
It does look like kind of they've tried to clone Mario and it's gone a bit wrong. And it's just like, please kill me now. I'm in pain. It just end it all for me. Life is pain.
It does remind me of some of a Mario Lego set could have looked really cool, but there's a lot of experimental sets that they made for the Dimensions video game where you could you basically NFC chips on little pedestals, you stick them on a portal, then those characters are available in the game.
Almost like your fake... Yeah. God, what now? What did Nintendo Amiibo. Come up? Yeah. Yeah, do you like those, Carmen? I think you like those, didn't you?
Yeah, I still like those. Uh-huh. And I wish I could have got into the Lego stuff, but they were very, very expensive. They're like 30 quid for a set with two minifigs and
an rip-off compared to some of the Amiibos you've bought.
£5, leave me alone. Anyway, they had some really cool ones. They had like a portal set with a Chell minifig, and they had a Sonic set. And the Sonic set looked really, really cool. And you know, so it shows it could have been a really cool thing, but instead we got this weird Duplo looking game. But if they're working together, who knows? We might get a Mario set down the road.
Might get something that doesn't look horrific in the future.
Yeah. Should we talk about more Nintendo?
Hey, let's please. I haven't vomited Nintendo's rainbows enough yet, so let me let us do this. There was a Nintendo Direct Mini, and for a mini thing, it had a bloody lot going on, didn't it?
Yeah, it was half an hour long, I think, but they crammed a lot into a 30-minute presentation. And this happened just a couple of hours before the show, so I was frantically kind of pausing, writing things down, rewinding it. So that nice little 30-minute presentation was more like 2 hours for me. But it was a lot of things that my wallet groaned at.
Yeah. So. I mean, we're not going to go through absolutely everything, Tim. I'm sorry.
Well, we can, but we can in-depth the ones that you want to talk about.
All right. Okay.
Very quickly. So I'll go through these in order as they appear. Uh-huh. Yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. That's coming out at the 29th of May.
Is it just me? That game looked old when it came out, and it looks even worse now. Is that... I don't know.
It was a Wii game ported to the Wii U, ported to the 3DS, ported to the Switch. So
it kind of looked dated on the Wii, and it's updated a bit, but yeah.
This is meant to be the... all the game and the expansion and stuff, and then also something called Future Connected, which is an epilogue tacked onto the end of the game. So if you want the full story and you're prepared to play it all over again, then play the Definitive Edition. But there's some improvements made to the game as well that, I mean, looks bright.
On the bright side, as the population gets older, people with short-term memory loss are going to become more prevalent. So, hey, you know, this might be good for them if they've forgotten they played it before. It's all good.
2K are bringing a bevy of their titles over to the Switch. So first of all, you've got Bioshock, Bioshock 2, Bioshock Infinite, which we've seen on the PC, the Xbox, and the PS4. But also Borderlands, Borderlands 2, and Borderlands the pre-sequel a special pack, the Borderlands Legendary Collection.
So like all the DLC, all everything. Are you telling me I'm going to have to play through that gosh darn frozen wasteland mission with bloody Hammerlock again?
Well, I'm a little bit annoyed by this as well, because it wasn't that long ago. I think we were talking about Borderlands 3 and 2K basically came out and said, we can't put Borderlands 3 on the Switch. It just won't work. And I remember saying on the show at the time, what about Borderlands 2 though? You could stick Borderlands 2 and Borderlands and pre-sequel on the Switch, because those games were on the, you know, they were on the 360.
Yeah.
And there didn't seem to be any sign of that. There was no leak of that. So I ended up like yesterday buying the Borderlands Handsome Jack collection on
one day too soon
on PC, and not happy about that. And the other one is the XCOM 2 collection with all the DLC, and they're all coming out on the 29th of May also.
Is it just me? It seems a bit weird that the two that they're all referred to as collections, but the Bioshock is like a trilogy, the Borderlands is a kind of trilogy, and XCOM is just the game and the DLC. Like, it seems a bit,
The thing you have there is Bioshock, Bioshock 2, and Bioshock Infinite, all 360 titles. Borderlands, Borderlands 2, Borderlands pre-sequel, all 360 titles, but also, I think, and also ported. XCOM 2 is a PS4 title and Xbox One and PC. XCOM 1 is a 360 PS3. So I don't know if that's got anything to do with it at all. Mm-hmm. Probably not.
No, it just seems weird to lump them together and be different things, even though they're called the same thing, kind of thing, no?
Right. Yeah.
I tell you what, though. XCOM, that's going to be a lovely fit for the Switch, isn't it? That's going to be good times.
Yeah. Yeah, if they implement the touchpad, that'd be really, really good.
That'd be tasty.
But yeah, if they had made this announcement a couple of days earlier, I'd have been all over that Borderlands collection.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit unclear. I can't tell. I'm having a look at the store page on it now on Nintendo. It would be brilliant if there was cross-save functionality with, say, the PC or something.
Also, there's new Telltale, new Telltale, as we dubbed it a while ago. They are adding patches and stuff to previous games and extra DLC and things. So, like, there's shaders on the Batman game and make it black and white except for flashes of color and stuff like that. But there's a rumor, well, there was a couple of leaks showing that they were going to re-release Tales of the Borderland.
Yeah.
But with cut content and all this kind of stuff added to it, which I'm all for, because I'd love an excuse to play that game again, but it's a pity they couldn't just chuck that in this bundle as well, if that was the case. But money's money.
Well, they can't put every Borderlands game in there every time.
Well, unfortunately, one they did put in there was the pre-sequel, which is garbage.
That's the one with the weird gravity and oxygen modes, isn't it?
It is, and the most annoying Australian known to mankind.
Also, they're all $39.99. What do you think of that price point? I was a bit like, meh.
I mean, they are both, you know, they're games with a lot of hours you can get out of them. I mean, to be fair, I think that's probably a fair price.
Okay, I thought it was a little on the high side. I would prefer to see it for 30, but...
Oh, yeah, I prefer to see it for 30, but I don't think they're taking the mickey.
If you can think of how long it will take you to play through Bioshock, Minerva's Den, because no one's playing Bioshock 2, and Bioshock Infinite, then that's enough to last you. If you think of playing, not just even playing through all those Borderlands games without grinding, you know, that's going to take a long time. XCOM, I've never played it, so I don't know.
Oh, XCOM's a reasonably large game with all the extra DLC stuff as well, so...
Seems worth the price.
So to summarise, Tim, shut up your face.
Well, that's why I asked your thing. I think it was reasonable, but not as nice or as friendly as I would have hoped.
Well, that's what we call the Nintendo tax. Bravely Default 2, they've announced that, and also there is a demo available right now.
Original Bravely Default, great game. Just going to say.
I heard.
Yes.
I heard. I'll try the demo.
It looks bobbins, but anyway.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order, the final expansion coming out. Shadow of Doom brings the Fantastic Four and Doctor Doom to the game. That is available right now through the expansion pass, which I didn't realise, one, you couldn't buy these individually, and two, that the other two have come out, so I've got a lot of game to play.
Hey, well, you know, well done keeping the finger on that there, Poles Coleman.
Yeah, see, I only want the first DLC. I'm a bit annoyed about that. Like, I don't... Like, they look okay, but I don't really care about the Fantastic Four and Doctor Doom that much. And then, yeah, the second one didn't grab me that much, but I really want the first one for the Punisher. But, hey. But as you say, it's annoying you can't buy them separately.
Shensuke Into the Depths, that is available now. That's like a 2D game, 2D puzzle game where you are a diver.
Diving, yeah.
Yeah, looks all right.
That looked cool. I quite like the graphical style.
Well, it's my favourite old neighbourhood located next to Osaka City's downtown Minami area.
Oh, good. Good googling, Dan.
Animal Crossing New Horizons, which it seems everyone but us is playing.
Can I just say, I have been tempted multiple times this week to distract myself from the absolute madness that is happening to just civilization.
It does seem like a nice tonic.
Yeah, it does seem like a nice panacea, potentially.
I thought about it, but there's three things stopping me at the moment. One is that my Switch seems to have been stolen by my girlfriend to use as a game to play Zumba on. Two is that Animal Crossing, I remember every time these games come out, I go, yeah, all right, I'll get in. Everyone else is playing this game, and I'll play it for about 10 minutes ago. I'm so bored. So there's that as well. It looks more appealing than the actual game, I find. And then the other one, someone put a list of all the characters that are known throughout the series and aren't in this game, and they've taken out Rossetti, so I'm done.
They've taken out Mr. Rossetti?
Yeah.
Well, that's just not on.
Well, because there's no option to reset the game and cheat your saves anymore, so they don't need to put him in as a warning anymore.
Boo.
Yeah, so they took him and his brother out. But yeah, so anyway, everyone seems to be playing that game at the moment. There is the first season event available, which is going to run for our Easter. April, which to celebrate Easter is called Bunny Day.
Oh, it'd be better if there was like zombie people with long hair.
Yeah, I think they're trying to...
Zombie Jesus Day.
I think they're avoiding any kind of religious connotation to it, just calling it Bunny Day. But there's a free update available now, so that...
To be fair, the holiday does that quite well for itself anyway, so...
There's a free update available right now for the game, so if you've got it, then it'll automatically update. And then from the 1st of April onwards, throughout April, you'll be able to find a bunny roaming around on your island and kick off events where you have to go on
egg hunt. I really thought you were just going to say, and then just kick the bunny.
Kick the bunny in the ball. Sack. And then later in April, they're going to introduce Earth Day, which they've not actually given the full details for yet. That's
it's a day about
later.
Earth.
Good job. Looks
thanks, mate.
Good job is the next game. And I thought that looked absolutely amazing, so much so that I picked it up straight away.
Okay, fantastic. They've really not messed about with a number of these. It's like either it's out now or it's just around the corner.
Yeah, and they did put, they put up a little sign before the direct saying COVID-19 concerns, dates are subject to change and what have you, but there are a lot of them that are out right now.
Well, one thing I found weird, I noticed that they announced a lot of games that came out today. There was also a selection of other games they didn't talk about in this release that came out today, and I feel a bit sorry for those
they
games.
They didn't pay enough money to Nintendo.
Yeah, it just seems a bit weird, but...
You messed with a family. Good job. It looks brilliant. It's it kind of reminds me of the Portal version of Bridge Simulator, where you've got the little,
sign
characters. It's got that kind of humor to it as well. When I started the game up on my way home earlier, you're the son of a CEO of a major company who gets given a job like kind of low level and has to work his way up to impress his dad. And as you're going through, it will be simple menial jobs like fix the internet, plug in a printer, mop the floor, you know. And as shown in the trailer, you can do ridiculous things. Like you could just pull in a copier and plug it in and then the copier is ready. Or you could set up some weird catapult mechanism to fire it through all the partition walls and smash into the office and then plug it in that way. And a big aspect of it seems to be how much money can you cost the company while you're trying to fix things.
Excellent.
Which seems a bit out if you're doing it for your dad. So I don't know.
Maybe you don't like him.
Catherine Full Body, which I keep meaning to get around and buying this. Maybe the Switch version will be the version I get. That's out on the 7th of July. This is the 360 PS3 PC game come to the modern day consoles, which they've added stuff to it from the original game. Initially, it was like a love triangle between your character, Vincent, Catherine with a C, and Catherine with a K.
Catherine with a K.
And then I remember there were jokes at the time. There was a couple of funny jokes at the time about Catherine with a Q, and apparently that is DLC now.
Quatherine.
There is a third Catherine with a Q.
Quatherine. No, there's another character with another name.
No, she's called Rin, for sure, but she's Catherine with a Q.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Right.
Quatherine.
Oh, my
Quatherine.
Word.
Quatherine.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Game Grumps joke there. But it's a spin-off from Persona, I believe.
I think it is. But it's a corking game. It's a corking game, Catherine.
Yeah, I beat it on the 360 when it first came out, so I'm looking forward to playing that again. I just need to carve out some time for Quatherine.
Quatherine.
Quatherine. Ring Fit Adventure gets updates. Yes.
Ring Fit Adventure. Now, this is something to help ease the pain of being knocking around nowhere but my house at the moment. I was like, I think I'm going to pick up some Ring Fit. That sounds like a good time
as long
if you're
as
in
you're
isolation.
Feeling rich.
And my God, that sold out everywhere. People are scalping it for about 190 quid because they're lovely people.
If you can get it through Argos, it's 70, which is the retail.
Yeah, they've sold out now.
Just buy VR, Dan. You know you want to give into it. Play exercise games through that.
I almost did.
Mate, it's a great escape at the moment.
That was another part of the man maths I was doing. And also, Half-Life Alyx does look really good.
Yeah, not out on PSVR at the moment.
Well, I wouldn't sully
more,
my face with
come.
Such
they
a
have
thing.
Been saying it might, basically. Mm.
Nice, lovely. Tell you what, I'll think about that.
So Ring Fit Adventure, if you're lucky enough to have one of those, then there are three updates to the game. You get a rhythm game mode, which looks awesome, and they've added in music from the likes of Super Mario and from Zelda, and more importantly, Splatoon, because Splatoon has banging music. There's a new jogging mode that looks quite fun. There, if you're not happy with the character of Ring, then you can now change the voice option from male to female.
Queen.
Yep. Yath Queen.
Yeah. And that's Ring with a Q.
Yeah.
Kring.
And there's also a language. There's new language options as well, so they don't just speak in English. All those are available right now, and they're free.
Yes.
Nice. King's Bounty 2, that's a game from the 90s that I have never heard of. Seems to be a strategy game. There's a sequel.
I've got a vague memory, but let me Google it and let me see. No, I have no recollection of that.
No, not a big strategy game guy, I guess.
No.
Myself.
No.
But anyway, that's coming out some point this year. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Never heard of it.
Be very happy to hear that the next new character will be announced in June. But we do know, and they will be available in June. But we do know at the moment they are a fighter from ARMS. We just don't know which one. I'm going to hazard a guess that it's going to be some cool character that switches all the different characters, I reckon.
Right.
Because they didn't announce which one it was, but they showed every single character for that game.
Do you know what I'm really looking forward to is the thrilling sequel to ARMS called Hands. That's what I really want to happen.
Called Wash Your
hands. Yeah.
Did that seem weird that they announced that they weren't making an announcement on it almost and announced that they'll be announcing who it is as it comes out? That seemed weird, no?
I think there was an ulterior motive here because, first of all, it was a week ago where they announced that the development for the next six DLC characters or five DLC characters, I forget, has been halted due to coronavirus going on. I think they put enough development time into this character to then go, by the way, that thing we said last week, don't worry, we've got a new character. You know, please buy the expansion pass for these new characters.
Right, yeah.
Okay. I think that might have been the ulterior motive there.
Might be the other ulterior motive of this. Do you remember ARMS?
Yes,
ARMS. Remember ARMS? ARMS, look at ARMS.
Well, because it's one of those things where Nintendo, people go, Nintendo, they rely too heavily on their old IPs. And they go, okay, here's a new IP called ARMS. They go, we don't like it.
Like
bring
it.
Out Mario.
Go back to your old ones.
To be fair, if they did better new ones, that might help. Anyway.
Yeah, I didn't like ARMS. But anyway, I've re-downloaded it because they've gone, hey, free ARMS trial for any Nintendo Switch Online members from now till the 6th of April. So, yeah, you can play the full game, and if you can beat it before the 6th of April, well done you. That doesn't take that long, to be fair. 51 worldwide games.
This is like, it's kind of, remember back in the good old days, like where the Atari VCS, well, it'd be like, there'd be like 300 games in one, all of them in and of themselves not particularly tolerable.
Well, but they said, okay, here's a classic collection of tabletop games, and then they release stuff that aren't really tabletop games.
Yeah. Like Battle Tanks.
Yeah,
Battle Tanks. And Six Ball Puzzle.
And yeah. A lot of these seem to be
Six
games...
Six Ball Puzzle reminds me of a very drunken night out I once had.
I'm pretty sure 48 of the 51 games I had on separate Amiga discs and not recreated very well. I remember a lot of different Mahjong games with no explanation on how to play Mahjong.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's 51 games. I won't go through them all. I was tempted to try and do a speed run of it, but I don't think my lungs will allow me. I've got coronavirus. But there's some interesting looking ones in there. And they do look like they've been replicated really well. And I do like the legally different sounding names of some of them. Like
right.
Toy Football or Toy Boxing is my favourite, which is Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Right.
What was the Connect 4 one? There was a really good one for Connect 4. I think it's just called 4 in a Row. Oh, that's
or
it.
Is
four
it called Matching?
4 in a Row.
4 in a
that
Row.
That is the standard rip-off name for that, basically.
I like it.
So, yeah. Yeah, like I guess you guys might be interested in this as well because it's like kind of, you know, overly more classic games than even I kind of generally venture into, but stuff that you can appreciate as well. Like I just thought the fact that if there's 51 of these games, trying each one for 2 minutes will probably get my money's worth out of it, kind of thing. I mean, and find 5 or 6 of them that I like. I don't think this is necessarily a great game, like a game that I will gravitate towards and go, I will buy this for me and enjoy it for hours.
Well, Tim, you realise that's only 1.7 hours.
No, but what I do think is, like, what I do think this is really good for is, okay, someone like another relative or someone I'm travelling with or a small child that I've lent my Switch to, I can give this to go play any one of those 51 games, or you want to play those games, or just it's a good thing to be like stuck in the back of a car with someone and just go, okay, right, you don't really play video games, do you? But we could play a game of chess, or we could play Go, or you know, drafts, or I can see a good use for this in real world situations, basically.
For me, I took a look at this and went, wow, they've actually recreated, because again, Amiga, Atari, Commodore, you know, I've seen versions of these games in the past and they've never really replicated that well. Seeing this version, I go, wow, they've done a really, really good job creating this. And then I went, I'm never going to play this. So stop getting excited. Because I have a phone and there will be free versions of every one of these games available.
I'm pretty sure. You need something to do with your Nintendo Direct Online thing or your Nintendo Online. So, you know.
Tim, to be fair, you're saying if I only spent 2 minutes on each game and get money's worth, that's £20.58 an hour.
Okay, right. Yes, Dan.
You can get many other things for £20.58 that you can enjoy for longer than...
Okay, if I tried each of them for 5 minutes and 41 seconds, Dan, are you happier?
All right, let me do the chuffing maths on that. Fine.
We've got
Let's
a lot to get 5. Through,
6
guys.
6 minutes. All right, yeah, all right.
We haven't even got to Pokemon
to get
yet.
Hung up on.
All right, I'm going to burn through the last few of the ones. Yep. So Ninjala, that is a new Battle Royale game.
No thanks. But
I don't
know
if that's a Nintendo exclusive, but it looks very Nintendo-ish. It's a game.
It looked like it was made by the same people that made Splatoon.
Not helping, Tim.
Melee thing from Splatoon people.
27th of May, 8-player Battle Royale game. You are ninjas in training that use gum ninjutsu.
Gum ninjutsu?
Yes.
Gum jitsu.
Bubble gum with ninjutsu. Looked cute.
Ningumtsu.
Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy. That is available right now. There's also going to be a re-release of Star Wars Episode 1 Racer sometime this year.
£18 for Jedi Academy. Am I being too tight and saying that's a bit too much?
No, anyway. I don't think you are.
No, okay. No, I don't either.
You could probably go on GOG and get that a lot cheaper.
Yes. Yeah.
Panzer Dragoon remake, we spoke about that a couple of weeks ago when Pac-Man was on. That is about available right now.
Mm-hmm. Panzer Dragoon is great. I love that game.
I never played it. Trials of Mana, that is available from the 24th of April. Fuser, that is coming out in autumn. The Elder Scrolls Blades is coming out in spring.
Or you could just play it for free.
Yeah, I believe it's a free game on the Switch as well.
Oh, is it? Okay, I will be quiet.
Hold me to that. I think that's right. Warhammer 40,000.
I like it when you're the big spoon.
Warhammer
40,000.
Yeah, I know. Warhammer 40,000.
Warhammer.
Warhammer 40,000.
Okay, not helping.
Is it out on the 4th of May as well? Warhammer 40,000, 4th of May, 4040.
Warhammer 40,000.
Mechanicus.
I am Mechanicus. That is in May 2020. Vigor, there is going to be a closed beta on the 9th of April. Beta, sorry, Dan.
Thank you.
Burnout Paradise Remastered. Did not know that was coming to Switch. Coming out 2020 sometime. If I didn't pick that up on the beat. S4, then I would have picked that up on the Switch because that's a really good idea. Saints Row 4 re-elected, or should I say re-elected?
Re-elected, remade again.
Isn't this 4 years after the re-release or something?
And let's face it, it was a re-release of another game anyway. Yeah. So
27th of March. The Legend of Heroes Trials of Cold Steel, 30th of June. Mr. Driller Driller Land, 25th of June. Minecraft Dungeon Spring, 2020. And then the big news they had was the expansions for Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Have they put another 50p in the money printing machine?
So they've already announced that there's an expansion pass available for two new expansions to the game. The first is the Isle of Armor, and the other one is the Crown of Tundra. Now they've actually detailed what the Isle of Armor is. So if you... and I think, again, you have to get the expansion packs to pick these up. You can't just buy them individually, which is a bit...
I have a question.
Yep.
Are you sure it's the Isle of Armor, not the Isle of Armor?
Armor. So trainers, if you buy the Isle of Armor, you'll travel to the Isle of Armor and you'll be fighting and training in a dojo that will earn you players a legendary Pokemon, which Dan has changed the name of, so I don't know what his name is anymore. Dan, why did you do that?
It's Koop.
Sorry?
It was Koop, but I thought it should be that.
Fuck Knuckles. I don't think that's his name either. I think I buggered that. Damn it. You get a legendary fighting Pokemon that Dan has ruined the name for because he's an immature boob. Once you've beaten that dojo, then you get to challenge in one of two towers. So one will be the Tower of Darkness, the other will be Tower of Waters. And you can only use Kubfu, the legendary Pokemon you've unlocked. Once you've beaten one of those towers, you will get your Pokemon Kubfu will then evolve into Urshifu. I think that's right.
It's easy probably for not. You to say.
Urshifu.
Really not. If you beat the Darkness Tower, then he will learn a single strike style. If you get water, then he will learn a rapid strike style. And then if you complete the Isle of Armor, your reward is that your starter Pokemon's Phylon Evolution will be given a cool new G-Max move.
I would love to pretend any of that just made sense
that's
to me.
That's fine. You can go to sleep while I'm doing this.
You've got the idea, Dan. You know how games work.
I still want to know if it's the Isle of Armor, though.
Yes.
You've got to dry hump a Pokemon to victory.
Along with the all these things detailed, there's also going to be new customization options. There'll be new hair, new clothes, and league cards. And then lastly, they announced that the Crown Tundra will be available in autumn, and then we'll get more details to that close to then. Also, if you buy the expansion pass already, then there are when you go to fight the G-Max Pokemon, the big giant Pokemon you might have seen in the advertisements, there's going to be more chance to see more rare G-Max versions of Pokemon that you'll then be able to catch, which I didn't write any of them down. I just remember Trubbish, because I hate Trubbish.
Right. Okay.
There you go.
Good.
It's a big pile of rubbish. The trash heap has spoken.
That's all the headlines.
Wow. That was a lot of headlines.
Was that a good lot of content for the amount of... Because have you already bought that?
The expansion pass. It's not the first one's not coming out in June, so I'll pick it up a little bit later.
No, fair
I'm
enough.
Still playing the main Pokemon game at the moment.
Still enjoying
it. Do you think that's a good amount of content for the amount of money they're offering?
Yes, yeah, I do think I think so, actually. They seem like decent expansions. They're apparently adding new wild areas and stuff to the game, which is like the main selling point of the Pokemon game at the moment. Since they did that Pokemon Home, I think they call it, the external app where you can upload your the new version of Pokemon Bank, basically, which allows you to... You can essentially import every Pokemon over into this thing and move them around. But you get a free Pokemon when you start it up. And they, because of that, I got to then put Squirtle in the game, which was my main complaint of Sword and Shield, is that Squirtle wasn't in the game. So now I got my Squirtle back and I'm very happy.
That's so, so,
Coleman got
so,
his Squirtle
so
back.
Many things. So
Good.
Many things.
Yeah.
What happens if you G-Max your Squirtle?
Mate. Make a mess.
Really? Really? Wow. It does dry cleaning need to get involved and everything like
that? No, it's not a G-Max Squirtle, so he just... Right. Oh, my God.
Oh, so he doesn't buy you dinner afterwards is what you're saying?
No, he can grow. You can turn him into a big Squirtle, but he's just a big Squirtle. He's not like this big mutated Squirtle or anything. He just looks like Squirtle, but big.
Big Squirtle.
Good.
Bit of Pokemon stuff for you there.
Love
points
it.
Of interest, they've got to go so damn quick this week. PlayStation Network, they are slowing down game downloads in Europe.
What,
because
even
of the,
more buzzing?
I think YouTube also announced that they're going to be limiting some of the resolutions in Netflix, Disney Plus, all that stuff.
So I think they're turning off the 4K, which is absolutely fine.
That's fine, because everyone's at home. But PlayStation Network, they're going to slow down the game downloads, and four people are angry.
Yeah, well, quick question. I don't mind
them
doing that.
Slow already,
but at
fair.
The moment, I pay Netflix more money for 4K. Should I not downgrade my package while they're doing that?
Tim, big picture.
Is that a dick move? I don't know.
Do you know what? I think they should automatically do that, but, you know, that's just the way my brain works.
Yeah, they may well do.
This rumor's been for a little while, actually. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 might be getting a remaster for its campaign mode.
Ah, interesting.
And there's been a rating in South Korea this week, which seems to have confirmed that by accident. So there was a Twitter user called Nibel. He posted a link to a South Korean ratings board website. And that shows you that the listing for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered seemingly is a go. So look forward to that. If I remember correctly from Call of Duty, not playing it, but watching from the outside, pretty much all my friends played Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. That was the one they absolutely lost their collective minds over.
That was the one that had the really good co-op stuff in it as well, wasn't it?
I don't know. I didn't play it then. I picked up, I think when everyone was playing Modern Warfare 3, I picked up Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 for like £4, played the campaign for a bit and went, it's not for me.
Yeah, so, fair enough.
Anyway, Plague Inc., Dan, you got news of them.
Yes, I just wanted to give Endemic Creations a shout out. So Endemic Creations are the creators of the wildly popular game Plague Incorporated, or Plague Inc., to give it its shortened name, which started off as, I believe, an iOS game, and then has just gradually gone absolutely gangbusters ever since. It sold millions and millions and millions of copies, and somewhat rather on the nose in these troubling times. It is essentially a game about you're a virus, you've got to infect the world. And I've spoken about this before. I've spoken about this before, saying actually the guys from Endemic are great. They've, you know, they gave me permission to actually use the game as a teaching tool once upon a time back when I was teaching, and it actually is based on really sound science behind it as well. But they're flipping it on their head, and it's going to be introducing a save the world mode, so you've got to try and put all the things you can to stop the virus from spreading, which I think is really, really great. And they have also donated £213,000 to, I think it was the WHO's Fund for Fighting Coronavirus. So,
oh, cool.
Good guys, cool. Endemic Creations. Yeah. They're from Bristol.
Thanks, guys.
Do pick the game up, because it is a great game. I mean, I understand people might find it a bit too close to home at this time. But, you know, if you do feel so inclined, there's worse ways you can spend a couple of quid.
I do find it weird watching all the movie streaming things and movie stuff at the moment. All the trending stuff are like doomsday scenario movies and Contagion and
Contagion pops up everywhere.
Yes, it's not like, good. It's, don't do that like, to yourselves, people.
Like, I want an escape from that when I'm watching a movie, not like, you know, rammed further down my throat. Anyway,
well, one of the movie sites I use, they popped up Contagion at the top of their list like the day this all started kicking off. And it's been there ever since. And
like
still
on Netflix, the most watching in the UK is that documentary about pandemics. It's like, dude, seriously, this is just, you know, this should be your escape from the horror that is real life at the moment.
Just to sort of go full circle with this as well, a lot of people, do you remember the reboot for Planet of the Apes? With the really weird CGI Caesar, Andy Serkis Caesar. And at the kind of climax of that film is watching the kind of virus follow the world map, showing you how it wipes out the human race and stuff. And if I remember correctly, Plague Inc. had some free DLC where you could try create the ape virus.
It certainly did.
There you go.
Do you know, it's a sad indictment of these times where I almost miss complaining about Brexit.
Do you know what? It took it out of the consciousness.
Brexit couldn't kill you instantly.
I mean, I'm not being funny. This is a hell of a distraction technique that they're trying to pull off. Trump thought he had it down pat, but man, this is woohoo!
This was pretty amazing up there. Timing, because I forget we're not even part of the EU anymore.
No,
madness. Yeah, it seemed like they went, we're out of the EU. By the way. Virus.
Yes. Right, so we've got a few games about what we've done play, but we probably ought to do these relatively quickly.
Well, we should do the big release especially.
Yeah. Yes, let's do the big release. The big release is...
You two went in for the game that I didn't get because I didn't finish the other game, and then went to go rebuy the other game on PC and went, I'll wait till the summer sale.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't think that's a terrible decision, to be honest, but anyway.
Yes. Doom Eternal.
Doom Eternal.
Doom Eternal. I played it on the PC. Tim played it on the PS4.
I'm hearing good things and bad things and mixed things. I want to know.
Graphically, this game is wonderful. It looks incredible. And
that's why I'm interested, because I keep seeing trailers and go,
pretty.
It looks so good.
Frame rate.
And it runs, it's really well optimized. You'll get 60 frames a second on a GTX 1070, probably no problem with everything turned up to crazy. But I played a bit of the original Doom, which is kind of, it's all about kind of fast-paced action and the stuff you have to, like in the first 2016, Doom 2016, if you like meleeed or did finishers, that granted you either some extra health or some fuel for your chainsaw or all that kind of stuff. And it was like a bonus above and beyond what you were going to get. So kind of rewarding you by making it even more crazy and ridiculous. Whereas Doom Eternal, it's become much more a critical part of the gameplay mechanic. And to me, I actually didn't feel like I was this kind of badass Doom guy who just kind of jumps into a room and absolutely mows everything down because, hey, he's the Doom guy. It kind of...
Doom Slayer.
Doom guy.
Doom Slayer.
Doom guy.
No, it's retconned.
Doom. I do think that it kind of... I don't know. It plays well, and I think it actually... The new gameplay loop encourages you to play the game like you should be playing the game. Like, it encourages you to be very hyper-aggressive, on the front foot, never staying still, and kind of constantly switching tactics, weapons, and, like, using everything at your disposal, and kind of... as you said, there's that loop of what you can pick up, and a different type of interaction will give you a different return and stuff like that. Like, say, meleeing them in the traditional sense will give you more health, basically. I don't know. I think it works quite well in directing you into the way the game wants you to be playing that game.
But to me, it quickly started feeling tedious and like a chore. I don't think the the balance is right for my personal taste. On it's like, oh god, I just want to use these awesome guns I've got, but instead I've got to watch all my ammo and I can't really enjoy them. It's not kind of, I think that power fantasy element of it is missing.
It's not a game where you can just like sit back and pick things off and take your time and find ways to kind of weasel round the combat, if you see what I mean, like you can in a lot of other first person shooters. I think it's not only demanding that you play it the way that it wants you to play it, it's insisting upon it. Like, you have to play the game this way now. If you want more health, you have to be going on the front foot, you have to be meleeing people. If you want more ammo, you have to be chainsawing people. If you want more fuel for your chainsaw, you have to go and find it at the moment. I think that probably something that comes in a bit later. Like, and then it's got like a flamethrower where you can get armor out of people as well, and I found that's very good at like if you're in a battle with something big that wants to get in your face, it's very good to set them on fire because then they'll give you a load of armor basically. But it feels very hectic and very fast paced, and I don't know, I kind of see what it's going for, and I really do like that. And I said in preview that I really liked the game. My only concern was the platforming sections, which I'll come on to.
Yeah, like, they're not great.
I found I quite like the aggressive puzzle nature of getting through an environment. But it does throw other things at you as well, because you've got to be moving around the environment quite a lot. You need to almost get used to how the environment is spread out and where the dangers are in that environment as well, because often I found I was dying more often through like falling off a cliff into lava than I was through actual enemy interaction type
does
thing.
He still do the cool thing when you fall into the lava where he puts the thumb up like Terminator 2?
I've only like taken damage in, like, I haven't like sunken into a
lava. Okay. Someone check that. Someone get back to me.
I haven't confirmed that. And there's elements of the game that I really, really, really like, and really like what they're doing and what they're going for. I've been playing it with my flatmate and he finds it a bit too hectic. Like the combat, he's just like, and it's that controlled aggression that you have to try and go through that I think it's a difficult thing to get used to. And I think anyone going from the previous Doom to this Doom might have a step up that helps them in that direction. I think coming into this one, having not played that previous game, it's an even more difficult ask.
I've heard that, and then going back as well, because of all the kind of little bits of parkour and the kind of hectic nature of it makes it harder to pick up. Did your housemate find it harder to get into it because find it more hectic because not only have you got the gameplay, but he's got you in his ear going...
Probably doesn't help. But no, I just... It's like it is a bit... I think it is a game that easily overwhelms, and it's a game that where, as you say, Dan, that power fantasy isn't there. And I think you're used to seeing that in first-person shooters, and I think the absence of that makes it a bit of a more acquired taste. And I think it's almost a taste... It's not just a taste thing. It's a set of acquired skills that you need to have in place to apply to this game. And I think there's a lot of people... I'm not sort of damning in people that are enjoying it, but I think that's something where if you are and I hate to use the term, but if you get what I mean by it in inverted commas, but a hardcore gamer, this is a game very much made with you in mind.
Well, actually, I think it's just kind of unashamedly not given up on its roots from being a mid-90s, you're based in being an early to mid-90s shooter, where that kind of very fast kind of scooting about at ridiculous speeds around the level, everything's very hectic. That was the norm of first-person shooters back in those days. But unlike the rest of perhaps the FPS genre, it hasn't moved past that. It still quite slavishly doffs its hat to its roots.
No, I don't know. For me, Doom 2016 did a very good job of recreating that. I think this has gone beyond that and made it its own thing. And I'm not sure I entirely love everything about it that it has done differently to Doom 16.
I think Doom 2016 is the better game.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say so. I would have to agree. There are... And I'd like to get further into the game as well. I must say, with me being a bit laid low with viruses and stuff and trying to work out how I was going to work from home and all this type of stuff, I haven't actually had that much. I've had played a fair few video games this week, but the amount of time that I've had to sit down and go, right, I am in the right headspace for this type of game right now, has been very limited, basically.
I was going to say, that's kind of where I've been. I've actually found myself wanting to play, you know, I mean, I've just wanted to play games that are just a completely different pace, like Ori, which I know Kev talked about last week. That's what I've been sinking a lot of time into, just because it feels a genuinely, I feel like I need something relaxing at the moment, as opposed to something that's based on, hey, there's a kind of an apocalypse is just going down. You know, it's like, yeah, that's my normal 9 to 5 these days. You know, I don't
want
to be.
You're in hell, and like, okay, like, I need an escape from hell because I'm currently in it already, mate.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
But yeah, like,
I'd just like to point out that my girlfriend is still playing the last. She's playing Last of Us right now, and it's outside.
Yes.
Yes.
Bloody clickers, can't go to the shops.
I saw a bloater on my way in.
Oi.
But, yeah, like, I don't dislike the game, and my early impressions of the game are still generally standing up.
Yeah, yeah.
But the platform sections are worse than I thought in terms of my enjoyment of them and how much they're harming my enjoyment of the game. There's one bit, literally, I've given up and I'm going to have to go back to it and I have more patience. I don't know how many times I try to jump around this thing. I don't know if I'm doing it wrong. But
probably.
I think I know what I've wanted to do from the word go. It's a bit where, I don't know if you've got to it, Dan. You're on a cube, you've got to get through one of the things that recharges your dash, and then you go up and then round the corner, and then you've got to get back over that on a much larger thing and then punch your way through a door as you're going through.
Hey, or what I like to call Monday morning.
Well, I think that's what I should be doing. I can't do it. Or I haven't successfully done
it. I'm not sure I haven't got to that bit yet. So
Come very close, and I just... Yeah, it got to the point where I was just like, I'm not enjoying this, so I'm going to put this down and not play more of this today, basically.
I have a question.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm seeing I'm hearing a lot in podcasts and stuff that there's a kind of base of operations your character has.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Why?
It kind of makes sense. Basically, well, the setup of the story, without giving too many spoilers, but the setup of the story is that, and I think this comes in from the end of Dune 2016, that you have... arrived at Earth, shit's going down, there's some, I can't remember what they call them, what are the three people, is it priests or
cultists?
There's some word that refer to these three leader type figures that you need to attack, that they're attacking Earth, there's like hell is overtaking Earth and these people are kind of overseeing it, and you've got to take down these three targets on Earth to kind of stem the tide of hell overtaking Earth, basically.
Got to stem that tide.
And yeah, like, as I said, I can see why the setup and everything is there. I kind of don't mind that part of it. Some people were complaining that there's too much story in Doom for a Doom thing.
Considering the first game, they had a story, but you also had the option to go, well, I don't care.
I don't care. Yeah. I just want to change sort of things in the face,
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't mind them building a bit of world and lore around it because I think that gives you a bit more sense of purpose and caring about what you're doing a bit.
But it does also, the way it's done in the game, though, where it's kind of through a lot of like collectibles or like kind of you have to dip out to a menu to read something. It's, you know, it actually, again, to me, breaks the rhythm of the game a bit. Something that's so about the cadence of everything just keeping on going and keeping on going.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't mind the pickup thing. I haven't really been reading all of that, but the actual like setup of the story and making you care about generally what you're doing a bit via cutscenes is something that I don't object to that. Basically, there's not too much of it in terms of what they're setting up and stuff like that. It is literally just, you know, point and click in this direction and start shooting things like that. There's not too much to it, but. Yeah.
So is it literally Doom Slayer's got a bedroom so you can show your collectibles?
Yeah, basically, I think the reason it is there, Tim, is because microtransactions at some point,
yes,
in the not too distant future.
Well, I don't know if I don't think it'd be microtransaction related, but it does lead to collectibles and as place to display those type of things.
I remember you could find kind of in place of the vault guys in
yeah.
Fallout, the bobbleheads, mm-hmm. They kind of had essentially pop figurines of Doom guys. And he would do things like give them little fist bumps and stuff when you found them. I assume
but
that's
now
all there's
various different toys, and I'm not sure if that just covers those things or whether there's other things on top of that as well. Basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another thing I saw, which I really found quite funny for no reason, that it was like 4 o'clock in the morning and it humored me for some reason. You know, when you get the mad laughs. But they put on the Doom Eternal Slayers Club page. They're like, if you buy Doom, you get this Doom skin. If you buy Doom 2, you get this Doom skin. If you buy Doom 3, you get this Doom skin. If you buy Doom 64, you get a copy of Doom 64. I quite liked that.
That's quite good. Also, and I won't go on about too much because we're already going a bit long on time, but the other thing that hasn't helped my enjoyment of this massively, possibly, is the fact that last week or so I have been playing that game I mentioned last week, the Terminator Resistance. I mentioned it got cheap. No. I've just checked. It's not on sale, so you might want to check for it to go back on sale. But
I'm waiting for
that
summer
game
sale.
Is a bit more of an old school, slower paced, and you can kind of be sneaky with it, like a first person shooter. And you can tell it was made by people that absolutely love the Terminator universe and wanted to make that game that we all wanted when we were kids of, what if you just set it in the future and I'm just battling Terminators and wandering around battling HKs and all that type of stuff? That would be cool. And they've made a really good version of that, and I kind of highly recommend it.
Well, can I one of the few good things, one of the only good things that has been about this whole isolation situation, is that we now live in a world where Arnold Schwarzenegger is at home in self-isolation with his pet donkey.
Yes.
Have you seen the one where he's in the hot tub? He's in the hot tub and he's amazing. Got a cigar and he's like, don't go outside, stay in,
I'm here with my Lulu and Sparkles and we're just inside, we're having the dinner and we're having a good time. Are we not? Yes.
Terminator Resistance, nowhere near as polished as Doom.
Yeah.
And I would probably not go as far as to say it is a better game. It is a game I currently have been enjoying more in the environment of not having as much concentration and energy to be fully up with the kind of the demands of Doom Eternal being, you know, quite a hectic, demanding game and something you need to give your full attention to and be really running up to speed at the time you're doing it, basically.
I have one last Doom question. Have you both got your special Doom Guy unicorn costume from Twitch Prime?
No, didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, you need to get that. It's amazing.
Go on Twitch, log in with your Amazon account if you've got Amazon Prime, and you will get a winged unicorn rainbow Doom Guy costume.
It's as good as it sounds, mate. Seriously, it's well worth the price of admission.
I take back any of my criticisms. Game of the year.
Damn straight.
We did it. We did it, guys.
We did it.
No, and I do have misgivings, and it sounds like I've been overly negative.
About this game?
But no, Doom Eternal. But, but as I said, it is a good game, and there is some really good stuff in there. I just wish they hadn't put some of the platforming and some of the other bits in there. But
yeah, well, what you can do?
Well, what I'm going to do is say, let's leave the games we've done played and talk about other bits that we do before we end the show.
Absolutely. So, Tuesday is sadly being downgraded to a Tuesday.
We don't have Tuesdays anymore.
No longer.
We
don't have Tuesdays anymore.
The day exists, but it's now just called
Tuesday.
Yeah. No, it's just day.
Day. All right. Okay. It's
everyone,
just day.
Change your calendars.
Monday, day Wednesday.
Wednesday.
In fact, no, day's too good. D. Just
no,
D.
No, I've renamed it not Tuesday. So I'll go Monday, not Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
I like that.
For anyone that didn't know what the hell we're talking about there, we're no longer doing Tabletop Tuesday events
for the moment, at least.
Dan, can I ask you a question on that quickly as well?
Yeah.
I know we got off the COVID-19 thing, but is it just me that's going, really, stuff in like August and September that you're rebooking things for? Is that a little ambitious? Do we know that people are definitely going to be all out in the clear by then?
I also want to know this.
Yeah.
It's too early to tell, really.
Yeah, that's what I think. Like, I think it's a bit foolhardy to...
Well, look, speaking as a guy who's just had to rearrange his wedding because of COVID, all right? Put it this way, I've...
By the way, Dan's getting married, everyone.
I was about to get married. I was about to get married, and then COVID. So we postponed it by more than a year into May 2021. Yeah. It was meant to be at the end of April.
I think that's much more sensible than all the other people are going, no, we're going to organise everything at the end of this year.
I think August and September is ambitious.
Well, here's my big one, was GDC. GDC, I think they were the first
to go.
Wow,
that could have gone so many places, and I'm glad it went that way.
So, GDC, they're one of the early ones to go, hey, we're going to reschedule GDC for August. I'm thinking, why? Because your GDC, yeah. I mean, okay, yeah, a lot of people, it's the game developers conference, and really, everything could be digital about that.
Everything could be done remotely.
Even if just for a year, you could do that digitally, and that's fine.
Because absolutely.
Not only is it, you know, it's presumptuous that you're going to rearrange this for August, but you're doing it in a hotbed of, you know, one of the earliest places to go. Corona is really a big problem, which is just shutting everything down. Yeah. So even if you do open back up and they're all fine and you're rearranging this, there's developers that are going, I'm not bloody going.
Yeah,
going to GDC. So
it's
going to
be, lovely. Let's get people in close proximity and make them all touch exactly the same things. And then that would be good, wouldn't it? And then maybe.
Yeah. Also, speaking of going digital for these type of things, I have to plug the fact that REZD has gone and made a REZD Digital. REZD is a kind of gaming event that we speak about quite highly. It's one of our favourite events of the year.
We usually do a REZD show every year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's an indie game kind of indie game focused gaming show that takes place on Tobacco Dock every year. But this year, they're still planning on rescheduling it for later in the year. But because it was supposed to be happening this weekend, they've decided to release some of it kind of digitally. So some of the talks and stuff that they were doing there are going ahead like remotely. So they've got some of the guests that have come in and dialed in from home and kind of doing all that type of stuff. I watched one of the ones on game writing today. I also watched a kind of preview of Wingspan, which we talked about last week as well. But yeah, like... It's they're definitely putting out some content. Obviously, they're making the best of a bad situation there. So, like, not all of it is going to be perfectly set up. But yeah, like, I think that's interesting. They were doing a day of stuff today, and there's still some of the content up on YouTube that you can go check. But then they're also doing two more days, and that'll be on the Friday when you should be hearing this podcast. Yeah, the Friday when you should be hearing this podcast and the Saturday afterwards as well. So there'll be more stuff going on in those days. You can find out more details on REZD.com or just on Eurogamer's website as well, basically. So
huzzah.
Go check details over there.
Yeah, I miss being not at REZD this year. It's a thing. But yeah, exactly what they've done. That could have been GDC.
Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely.
The wise move that these people have made, others should be doing. Especially when it's like talks, really. That seems...
Yeah, does seem a little silly, doesn't it?
Yes.
Have you got a gosh update, Tim?
Yes. Just the fact that, as we alluded, as we kind of detailed last week, we won't be doing the kind of major parts of this that we planned. But you can still get involved and it gives you something to do while you're at home. You can help earn money for hospitals. Obviously, it's a big time for hospitals at the moment. And GOSH is one that possibly won't be in the the forefront of the firing line at this. But obviously, any hospital and any medical services at the moment are going to be at full stretch. And I think any money that you can contribute to a hospital is a good idea.
I completely agree.
Great Ormond Street in particular is, you know, obviously a children's hospital, and it's a great cause to be kind of helping out with at the moment. And it's something a lot of people are like, well, what can I do? And they're volunteering, and anyone that doing stuff like that, that's great. But anyone else is looking for something, and especially if you're trapped in the house at the moment and can't do something, like I feel really bad for not being able to help with that much at the moment because I don't want to get out of my house with my illness. But I can help out with this GOSH stuff. I'm going to be, hopefully, and I'm a bit behind doing that this week, but I'm going to set up some streaming stuff and do some streaming from my house,
ooh,
whether that is VR or other stuff. Maybe we should do some Sea of Thieves stuff or something as well, gentlemen, if you want to join me for something like that.
This is going to be more interesting in that Tim hasn't got anyone to help him set up the streaming stuff.
which unfortunately, if it wasn't so inception-y for me to suggest this, would be a very entertaining stream in and of itself.
But it actually makes life a bit easier for me because I don't have a gaming PC here that is accessible. Anyway, I will be streaming from the easy way through, straight from my PS4 or my Xbox.
I mean, your housemate's a bit tech savvy. How about he records you on the phone and puts that on Twitch?
Oh, it'd be amazing.
While you try to set up a stream.
Oh, it'd be incredible.
I think that'd be fun.
I'm just wondering which one of my housemates you were thinking more tech savvy than me. But
dude, to be fair, me and Coleman have spent many an hour trying to help you work a computer.
I mean, your last game stream, I think I set that up, didn't I?
Well, we were doing Extra Life together, so yes.
Yeah.
Raising money to help Bleezy with his Noctis. It's a reference.
Oh, I forgot that was a thing. Right.
Before we go, one last thing, community feedback. So if you want to help out with the show, and we want you to do so by asking us questions, giving us feedback, maybe letting us know of a game that you want us to play or some DLC we should be picking up, anything like that, you can do so. Go to Discord, Big Red Barrel, which you can get off the front page of bigredbarrel.com, or just look Big Red Barrel on Discord. That is our preferable one because that's our little community hangout. We've got the comments section on bigredbarrel.com. We've got facebook.com/bigredbarrel, and we've got twitter.com/bigredbarrel, or at
all of
Big Red Barrel
things,
if you prefer. Skydark, I'm going to read his question of the week because these are always entertaining me, and this one is a doozy. What movie or video game vehicle do you wish you could own in real life?
Hang on, so what movie do you wish you could own in real life?
No, movie or video game vehicle.
I mean, if anyone is saying other than the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's exactly where Ecto I was going.
Ecto-1. Oh, my God. Like, you're both going Ecto-1.
I'll both go. Yeah, we're going Ecto-1.
I mean, it's not the only answer, but it's a good one.
No, it's the best answer.
See, on the Discord, someone already suggested the Batmobile, and my favourite Batmobile...
Well, that's yours, obviously.
Well, my favourite Batmobile is the Tim Burton 1989 Batmobile.
But if I'm going to go 1960s. TV series.
Actually, I have a late breaker there. Now, I do understand, right, that in 2014, Postman Pat the movie was released.
Mm-hmm.
His van.
So you want the van.
That's just the van.
A Royal Mail van.
No, I have a better answer for me as well. And as he's expanded it to movies, I don't think we ever got a good game of this as far as I know. But Knight Rider. Mainly because I don't drive.
Oh, we got a terrible game of Knight Rider.
Yeah,
a very helpful car for me because I don't drive and I could just actually get it to drive for me.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Just to continue with mine, I was going to say 1989 Batmobile is always been my favorite. It looks the best. But if I remember correctly from that film and the Amiga video game, it can't really turn corners and you have to use a grappling hook to hit a lamppost to turn a corner. So for practical use, I'd say the 1960s Batmobile.
Although if we're heading into a kind of post-apocalyptic environment, thanks to COVID-19, might be handier to have something with a bit more firepower on it. So maybe a Warthog, because you can also flip those over just by hitting them. So
yeah,
that's
Warthog's
quite good.
Been in the suggestions. Bat tank. And then I can be a stealthy back tank.
Ooh, yes. Stealthy back tank. So you can sidestep
which is like dressing a fat bloke up in lycra, really. That's kind of that approach to stealth. But yeah.
The fat tank?
Bat boat. Anything. Any bat.
Anything with the word bat in front of it.
Bat copter.
Bat tricycle.
Bat tricycle.
Bat tricycle. Bat pedalo.
Bat pedalo, that's good. Yeah, there we go. I think that's enough.
Pogo stick.
I didn't write these in the genders. Bakewood's joined the Discord. Thank you. We haven't heard from you for a while, actually.
Hey.
It's me, Andy Baines. He wanted to say that he had a PTSD reaction to the Sonic Drowning Countdown at the end of last week's podcast.
Wow.
I had the idea because I don't pre-do these. I listen to the podcast while I'm editing it and go, oh, that's a good idea for it. Right, I'll put that in at the end. And I'll start sourcing that out while I'm waiting for something to render. And I had the Sonic idea, and I went, it's got to be with the Chemical Zone theme tune, because that's what I remember. Man. And I did it all, and it just abruptly breaks into the Chemical Zone from to the countdown. And when I put it together, and I because what I do is I publish the episode and I listen to it all back and make sure it's all fine. I had a mini anxiety attack because I just so I know your pain, and it was self-inflicted.
Yes, well, let that be a lesson to you, Colm. That's why you can't have nice things.
I don't know what I'm going to put. It'll probably be some shredding doom music this week.
Excellent. Brilliant. Love it. Right, we're going to go now because we should. So thank you ever so much for listening. As Colm said, go to internet.com/bigredbarrel. You'll find us there. And yes, so all that really remains is for us to remind you that I've been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've been COVID, man.
No. What? COVID.
Oh, COVID, man.
COVID. COVID-19.
COVID-19.
Yes, very good.
I've been Coleman. Tell your friends. Not that I'm Coleman, about the show.
What, that you're infectious?
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Why not?
All right,
you should really warn them. I'm touching people on the tube. It's
I know, you should.
So unsanitary.
You, out of anyone, Colm, should be washing your hands, really.
Have I told you the good word of Sonic the Hedgehog?
Anyway, we're going to go now. So thank you ever so much for listening. We should be back next week, all being well. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.